continue with the series, we've been looking at certain things about our confession of our faith, our declaration of faith. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis and chapter 1. If you've not been around for this series of teachings, I want to implore you to please get to the technical department. And if you've been around, you need to put it in your car and get it on your phone and constantly listen. Faith doesn't come by hearing. It comes by hearing and hearing. It means there has to be more than one hearing. There's a particular habit I have. I'm regularly listening to God's word. For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. So if I listen to the one that the minister is saying, after a while, a word will proceed into my heart. And I live by every word that proceeds in my life. That's where God designed me to operate. Genesis in chapter 1, I want to show us something, because we need to keep emphasizing the foundation of our faith, why we do what we do. Many people don't know why we do what we do, and how victory can be wrought. God has given us so much. Most of the time we have received so little of what God has given to us. So we keep learning from God's word how to receive more and more and more. Are you in Genesis chapter 1? Let's look at the principle. Verse 26 and verse 27. So let's be from verse 26, 28. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the face of the earth. Verse 26, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image, and after our likeness. The word image there means, let us make man in the same form or dimension that we are in. God is a spirit, so man also is a spirit. Man is a spirit, he has a soul, he lives in a body. So when the Bible says, let us make man in our image, God is saying that, like I am a spirit, you also are a spirit. Like I'm a prevailing spirit, you also are a prevailing spirit. Then when it says after, the word after our likeness means after the same order of existence. That simply means that God is saying, how does God operate? After making man in his image, God also made man in his likeness. Likeness means to function like I function. How does God function? God does nothing without saying it first. God does nothing without saying it first. Everything that God will do, God will say first. Everything that God will do, God will say first. We saw in Genesis chapter 3, how God spoke about the coming of Jesus. And he said, the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. That was something that took place almost 4,000 years after. But God said it first before he did it, because it's a prevailing principle of God. And so the way God created us, if we're going to function like God, we also have to learn how to say things before we can do them. As a matter of fact, the way God ordained you and I to operate is this. Everything you want to do with your hand becomes easier to do after you have learned to say it first. Most of the time, it looks so simple, we can easily overlook it. We're used to labor and to toil. And that was part of the challenges or part of the consequences of the fall. God told Adam, God didn't curse Adam. God simply told Adam the consequences of the fall in the garden. God told him, cursed is the ground for your sake. Which is, you did something, I put the ground under you, and you are meant to rule over the earth. And so something took place when Adam fell. And what took place was this. The minute Adam fell, and he came under the dominion of the devil, and received the devil's nature, automatically the ground that was given to Adam came also under Satan's authority. So the same nature was transferred to the earth. And God told Adam, because of what you have done, this is the consequence. The Bible didn't say that God cursed Adam, though. God didn't curse. You see, there's a prevailing principle in scriptures. God can't curse what he has blessed. He can't. 28, verse 28 says that, and God blessed them. And God said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue, have what? Dominion. He didn't take it back. But God told Abraham, listen, you have been shut out of your spirit. Your spirit was given to you to prevail in life. Now you've been shut out because of the fall. So the ground will not be able to yield to you its full strength. It says, in the sweat of your brow, you will eat bread. What does that tell you? Man wasn't designed to eat bread from the sweat of his brow. You are meant to do little and see much. That's God's plan. And it takes a while for our mindset to readjust to that. We think much labor should lead to productivity, but that's not God's plan. The way God put man upon this earth was that everything says subdue, bring everything into subjection. And after God did that, man was meant to speak, operate like God. The same way God operates by speaking, man was supposed to speak things into existence. But the minute Adam fell, he lost that aspect. He was no longer a speaking spirit like God was a speaking spirit, because his spirit was in darkness. And so that's part of what God came to restore in Christ Jesus. That we understand the principle. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that what proceeds out of the mouth of the living God. So if God does everything he wants to do by speaking, we are meant to do all that we want to accomplish, like by also what? Speaking. God expresses his will by speaking. Man is meant to express his will also by speaking. So as God reigns in the heavens, man is meant to reign on the earth. And so you notice that prayer that the Bible gives us in Matthew chapter 6, which is popularly called the Lord's Prayer. When Jesus was teaching disciples under that dispensation how to pray. We don't pray like that anymore because Jesus has died and has risen again. But he was given a molded prayer how to pray for that dispensation. And he said, when you want to pray, say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is where." So God's will is being done in heaven consistently. That's one of the reasons why there's no sickness in heaven. That's the proof God's will is being done. They don't get old or weak there in heaven. Why? God's will is being done. It says, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." How does God get his will, which is in heaven, to be done on earth? He will say it by his words. And the minute God says it, it will depend upon a man who will hear and who will say the same thing. Don't forget. God will speak and then will depend on a man hearing what he has said. Then a man on the surface of the earth here will take what God has said and also what? Declared. Psalm 62. Look at Psalm 62. I think that's where we stopped last week. I think so. I'm not 100% sure. But Psalm 62. I want to try and see how to slow down a little bit. I discover over time I say a lot in a single message. So, Psalm 62, are you there? Look at verse 11. Psalm 62, verse 11. What does it say? God has spoken once, twice have I what? Had it. Power belongs to who? Power belongs to who? God has spoken once, twice have I had it. So here's the principle. God speaks his word. There is a man who is on the receiving end, who pays attention to God's word and receives God's word, and then that man declares God's word on the earth, and God's will becomes released on the earth through a man declaring what God has said. The first time the man hears is when God speaks. The second time the man hears is when he says what God has said. So he says, God has spoken once, but twice have I had it. So if you are not hearing twice, it's because you are not saying what he has said. Let me say that again. God speaks once. I will hear twice. I will hear when he first speaks. I will hear a second time when I say what he has said. So the plan of God is this. I will have experiences with God and prevail on the earth if I hear what God has said and I repeat what he has said. That's what God designed it to be. There is a part of me that will hear and new experiences will begin to spring forth in my life. That's one of the foundational principles for confession of God's word. If all your Christian life, you've not really spent much time in confessing, you've not really grown much. And you really can't grow beyond how much of God's word you have been bold or confident enough to declare. So the more you are able to declare the truth of God's word, the faster your spiritual growth and the faster the experiences you will have in the things of God. Brothers and sisters, let me be sincere with you. Christianity is boring when you're not having supernatural experiences. Do you know there's enough in God's arsenal and God's storeroom for you to have supernatural experiences every week and every day? I'm talking about the God who kept a nation for 40 years under a covering of a cloud so that the sun would not smite them by day. And at night, he erected a pillar of fire so that they could see for 40 years. And manna did not cease for 40 years. What does that tell you? He's into continuous miracles. How do we step into that dimension? If you are born again in name and you are not indeed means you are having experiences, not occasionally, but But all the time, you can see the favor of God in manifestation. It has a lot to do with how much of God's will and counsel you have received and how much of it you are regularly declaring. God has spoken once. Twice have I heard it. Power does what? Belongs to God. Very important. So if we're going to have greater experiences and things of God, we need to buckle up now. We're about to enter November and December, and we have a prophetic word. He said, I will give you a mouth and a wisdom that the enemy will not be able to gainsay nor resist. Luke chapter 21. I will give you a mouth and supernatural wisdom when you're speaking that the enemy will not be able to refute or contradict. He won't be able to stand against it. But here's the issue. If you have been given the mouth and the wisdom and you're not using it, then you can't do anything against what the enemy brings. So you have to decide, between now and December, what do I want to see? How many of us want to see good things? Everybody wants to see good things. How many of us are doing something about seeing good things? That's the difference. So ask yourself this question. Have I been faithful in declaring God's word concerning my life? Or do I only see it when I come to church? You know, once a week is very weak. Once a week is very what? Weak. It's not potent enough. That's why Christians are frustrated. Pastor, I tried it for 3 days. It didn't work. The Bible doesn't say for 3 days. It said the just shall live. It means if you are not living by it, you have not started. You have not started. And it's amazing how people in the world are diligently pursuing evil. Isn't that amazing? Even in the secular world, I mean, people go to the offices in the morning before anybody comes there and bring out that thing. I don't want to mention it. That thing that they carry like this, and they say some things. And they say it every day because one man whose breath is in his nostrils told them to do it. But the God of the heavens and the earth, he said you should say, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And you are not saying it. So when the challenge comes up, it's clear what you have been saying. Because what we hear from your mouth is, Mugbe, or I'm finished. If that comes over much in any situation, is a reflection of what you have been saying consistently. Situations will come to examine and to test you to find out if there's an answer in you. It's as you build over a period of time. Don't let the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of material influence shift you from the ground of faith when it comes to what you are expecting and what you are believing for. You can have enough to pay for bodyguards. But no, how do you see a bodyguard that will receive a bullet for you? Even when you do see one, the arrows that fly by day, no bodyguard can stop it. Only the shield of Jehovah can stand between you and the terrors by night. Because at night, even your bodyguard will be asleep also. But there's someone who doesn't sleep, he doesn't slumber. And is watching over you. How do you release his ability? His ability needs to be released. God has spoken once. Twice have I what? Had it. You have to say it for you to hear also. That's how your heart becomes established in the truth. The Bible says you, the righteous, you will not be afraid of evil tidings. Because your heart is fixed trusting the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's look at David this morning. Sometimes it's good to use Bible characters to give illustration. Look at Acts chapter 13. And let's see something about David. Acts chapter 13. David did some amazing things, and the Bible gives us the key. Acts 13, are you there? Acts 13, look at verse 22. Acts 13, verse 32, are you there? Sorry, I'm jumping to the middle of the verse. And when he had removed them, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my, notice, he said, I have found. To find means to look for and to search for. And God sought and looked and found a man. He said, I have found David. So God was searching. So David wasn't just picked by the favor of God. God found David. To find means you're looking here and there to see if anybody meets the qualification. And believe me, David wasn't perfect. But God wasn't looking for perfection. He was looking for a man after his heart. After his heart means that operates like God operates. Who thinks the way God is thinking? 2 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 9. Most of us know it. Bible says, the eyes of the Lord run through and flow the heart, looking to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are what? Perfect towards him. That word perfect doesn't need to show you. It doesn't mean the man is complete in everything. It simply means the man has found favor in terms of the fact that he is doing what God expects him to do. The eyes of God are roaming through and through the heart. So when God's eyes were roaming through and through the heart, he found a man called David, whose heart was perfect. A man after God's heart. Why did God say David was a man after his heart? Because David will hear God and will repeat what God was saying. In Psalm 18, we find where David said, through the Lord, I have run through a troop and I've lived over walls. This is a man that said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me beside the still waters. He leads me in green pastures. He restores my soul. He makes me to walk in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He had it from God and he began to repeat it. So when God said, I found David a man after my heart, he was talking about the fact that he found someone who thinks like God thinks by receiving his word, who will do all of my will. God's will was that certain events should take place on the earth, and he was looking for somebody to release it through. How does he release it? He will speak words, the person will hear it, and the person will repeat it. You know, when we get to heaven, we should celebrate people like Isaiah. Because it was Isaiah who said, a virgin shall give birth. Listen, if God comes to you now, in these days of biology, and says, my son, say after me, a virgin shall give birth. You first cough. God, let us update you on the latest technology. Virgins don't give birth. Even if a virgin is going to give birth, it has to be by artificial insemination. But God said, a virgin shall give birth. And Isaiah said it. That man needs to be respected. It means he said what did not make sense. How can a virgin give birth? But Isaiah said, God, thou knowest. People, a virgin shall give birth. At the risk of being stoned. He still said it. It was a tremendous thing to do. So when the Bible says God is looking to and fro to see a man, it means many people were given the opportunity. Many of them failed. He found only a few. And he found a small shepherd boy in the wilderness, tending his father's sheep, who was always worshiping God. Who will hear things of God and will say it? That's why David was picked. It wasn't because it was the only one that was available. It was the only one who yielded to God. And so God found him. Now look at chapter 17 of 1 Samuel now. And let's look at David and Goliath. And that popular passage of scripture, most of us, at least we read it in my book of Bible stories. So let's leave Bible stories now. I'm coming to real life. Are you there? I'm going to read fast, so please just follow me. I want to bring out some things in this chapter. 1 Samuel chapter 17. It says, now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together in Shokok, which belonged to Judah, and pitched between Shokok and Azekah in Ephes Damim. And some of the men of Israel were gathered together, and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. So both armies stood on what? Mountains, and there was a valley between them. So no army was elevated above the other. Both of them were on two mountains facing each other, and there was a valley between them. Look at what happened in verse 4. And there went out the champion of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had an elbow. By the way, 6 cubits and a span is about 9 feet 3 inches. A man. Think about it. 9 feet 3 inches. He was a giant indeed. Verse 5, and he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. Modern day interpretation, the coat that he was wearing, that is his mail armor, was about 90 kilograms. I think that's the weight of some of us. Some of us don't even weigh up to 90 kilograms. Now, that's the mail he was wearing. So you can imagine how intimidating this man looked. He had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. Okay, verse 6. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. His shield was so big, he needed somebody to carry it along with him. You know, you normally carry your own shield and your own spear, but he carried one spear, then one man's responsibility was to start going under the weight of the team as he was carrying. That's his own assignment. Look at what happened. Verse 8, and he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? I'm not I a Philistine, and you servants of Saul? choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. If I be able to fight me and to kill me, then we'll be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall you be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, this is what God said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly. They were not casually afraid though. Say greatly. Greatly afraid. How did the fear come? Now listen to me. You need to understand the anatomy of the enemy's fight. They came out to fight. You don't go out to fight if you are not confident. It was after this man spoke that great fear came. How did the fear come? From the words that Goliath said. After they saw him and after he spoke, give me a man. Now listen. Number one, you are not to allow the enemy to determine the terms of battle. They were meant to come together to fight. Then the man separated himself and said, no need for everybody to fight. Just find one man that will fight me. If I win, all of you will serve us. If you win, all of us will serve you. The first mistake they made was they listened to him. Look, let's read on. Now, David, the son of Ephrathite of Bethlehem Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons. Let's just jump and go to how David got to the battlefield. And I want to just bring out 1 or 2 principles for us to see. Verse 23. David was sent by his father to the battlefield. Look at what happened. To go and see his brothers. Verse 23. As he talked with them, David was talking with the men. Behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were so afraid. What's the difference between the last thing that we read and what is happening now? Then they were greatly afraid. Now they were physically demonstrating the fear. Bible says, when he came out to speak, he didn't chase them. They were running. And the Bible records that this man came out and did what he just did now for 40 days. In 40 days' time, fear was extremely established in the heart of every soldier in Israel. But the man was using a principle. And it was the same principle that David used against them, that the man was using. The man came and to announce, he says, are you not servants of Saul? And I'm a Philistine. That was the first mistake they made. Israelites were not servants of Saul. They were servants of the living God. If the enemy can get you to forget your identity, you are finished. That's why we say, I know who I am. I'm not just by your day. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I will be established in righteousness and I will be far from oppression. That's what the Bible says. The minute your identity is changed, he gave them identity that wasn't theirs. They were not just servants of God. They were servants of Jehovah. The minute he got them to agree they were servants of God, they started running. Because it was a spiritual issue, not just a physical one, actually. There was a God that the Philistines served, and this man was worshipping a different God that the Israelites worshipped. And that's where they made a mistake. Verse 25. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that's come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter and to make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man? Now this is David. He had never been to the war for 1 gram before. He had never handled the sword before. He just came. Instead of listening to what the man was saying, David was listening to what the reward would be. Can you see the different mindset? Now, these people were on the battleground and they are listening for 40 days. Brothers and sisters, 40 days is too much to listen to the enemy's propaganda. You will be weak. Even though you have everything in your arsenal, you won't be able to use it. It's called spiritual and psychological warfare. They were brainwashed into thinking they couldn't do anything. Now, these were people who left the city to go and fight in battle array. In fact, before this incident, Saul had recorded several victories. In every battle he went for, they had recorded victories. So this was the first time. So they were not people that were weak. Saul stood head and shoulders above every man in Israel. But he saw a man who stood not head and shoulders, but waist and shoulders above everybody. 9 feet 3 inches or so. It wasn't a joking matter. But what was the problem? David was coming fresh from the wilderness. What was he doing in the wilderness? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When my enemies, my foes, when they come up against me, they will stumble and fall. That's where he was coming from. He hadn't had this. He had been hearing what God had been saying. So when he came, when the men were running, he was wondering why they were running. His mindset was different. What he had been saying, he knew. Power belongs to God. Let me read on. So the people answered him, anyone who kills this man, the king will give him riches, the king will give him his daughter. Let's jump to verse 30. Verse 31. And when the words were heard, which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. Now listen very carefully. David said something that was different from what any other soldier in the armies of Israel said. David was saying something that was different. And because he was saying something that was different, let me read what David actually said. Look at verse 26. And David spoke to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killed this Philistine and takes away reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that should defy the armies of the living? Did you notice they say the armies of Israel? This is the difference. David knew what the Israelites didn't know. You are not armies of Israel. You are armies of the living God. And this man has come to defile you. Everything is based on identity. You can't say who you are not. But believers are constantly saying what they are not. I am weak. I am confused. How can you be confused? With the wisdom of God at work in you. A lot of times, because of situations, we say what we are not. Can I experience confusion? Yes. It's different from saying I am confused. I am not confused. I'm God's wisdom in manifestation. David said, who is this uncircumcised? The word uncircumcised means that we have a covenant with God. He doesn't have a covenant. He's a dog. He doesn't have the right to even stand before the God of the heavens and the heart. That's what uncircumcised means. And this man is a dog. And he's defying the armies of the living God. Not just the armies of Israel. And that's why they kept running. They didn't know what David knew. So they couldn't speak the way David was speaking. Let's read on. I'm going to jump now. So Saul sent for David. Look at the way David spoke to Saul. When you are in trouble, you need somebody that speaks the way David speaks. Every man is afraid. Every man is running. And the king, who is also afraid, inside his tent, said, somebody is speaking differently. Send for that. Let me see that boy. And when David came, look at what David told Saul. 32, verse 32. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight this Philistine. Saul must have been looking. Thy servant. He was looking at David. And David looked like a very handsome guy. Young looking, about 17 years of age. You know, all his other older brothers were, three of them were in the army, and they were taller than me and big. And David was looking smallish. So David looked at where Saul was looking at him. If I look at what Saul said to David, Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight him, for you are but a youth. But he has been a man of war from his own youth. And David said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. I will speak, sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known his faithfulness to all generations. David began to speak of God's faithfulness to Saul. To reassure Saul, he was qualified. Look at what he said. He said, your servant kept his father's sheep, verse 34. And there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. When he rose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. A lion. You know what David was saying? The lion came after the sheep, caught one of the sheep. I ran after him, took the sheep from him. I was going my way. The lion now came after me, and now turned back and killed him. That's what he was saying. When lion rose up against him, I caught him by his beard. You know lions have a large mane. Then I slew him. Look at verse 36. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. You know there are times when you face a challenge, you tell yourself, this one too shall come to pass, and I will remain. Hallelujah. I have gone through the past through waters. I have been through waters. The waters have not drowned me. The fires have not kindled upon me. This one shall also come, and it shall pass, and I will still be standing. Hallelujah. They trust in horses and chariots, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are falling down, but we are still standing firm. David was reciting God's faithfulness. Look at what happened. Verse 37, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go. Question, what changed between the time Saul sent for David and now? What do you think must have changed? Saul could see what David was saying. It was graphic. This man, this boy, lion, bear, he will win. He will win. Lion and bear. None of them is small. In fact, I'm sure in Saul's mind, he was thinking, this Goliath is exactly like a bear. The same David that's what said, you can't go. He said, go. The way you're speaking, you need to go. I'm going to jump once again, please. Just bear with me. Are you there? Look at verse 40. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook. And he put them in the shepherd's bag which he had, even in his crib. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to this Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And David went, and when the Philistine looked about and saw David, do you know what it means to look about? Satan has grags. You know what grags is? You know what grag is? The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, goeth about as a roaring. He's just making noise, so he doesn't have teeth. Jesus removed his teeth 2,000 years ago. He's a toothless bulldog, but he still has sound. He still makes noise to make you afraid. When David came out, Goliath was like, he was here. This one, me and this one. Is this one that came? All the men that are there, they didn't come. Is this one? And that's where he made a mistake. And that's where the enemy always makes a mistake concerning us. I heard Pastor Eboe say one day, so many times they have been challenged by the enemy to battle. Say, but he has learned a trick. He will go and boast, make a lot of noise. And when he and the enemy get into boxing ring, and the enemy is thinking he's one that will fight, he will just step aside and say, the King of Kings is ready. That somebody is hiding behind me. So he went for a crusade one day in a village. And all the chiefs, in fact, the head of their occult group, came out and gave his life. When he did, the king followed, and other chieftains followed. Then after the meeting, some other people asked them, why did you come out like that when they called for this thing? He said, when a small boy like this is talking like this, you know something must be behind him. It's not ordinary. Otherwise, he can't come here and be talking like this. Something big is behind him. There's something big behind you. He's the maker of the heavens and the earth. Look at what David said. Look at what the Philistine said. Verse 43. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that you come against me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Look at David's response. David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel whom you have defied. This day, hallelujah, this day, not tomorrow. David was definite. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. And David began to say 3-4 things he was going to do by faith. And this day I will smite thee and take your head from thee and give thy carcasses to the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the heart. And all the heart may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly, two people, the whole heart, and the nation of Israel who have become cowardly. This assembly. They also will know. You know your testimony of increase. Your testimony of prosperity. Your testimony of a new house. Your testimony of a recent blessing. Your testimony of supernatural promotion. Will be a testimony in the midst of the assembly. Those whose hearts are down will be lifted up. Even in the body of Christ, those who are confused, they will start seeing. Those who are discouraged, they will be encouraged. David said, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, David hasted and ran. Hey! I have things I want to say to David when I see him in heaven. He hasted and ran. The battle was over before he started. When the battle ended, when David said, you come against me sword and fear, but I'm coming against you in the name of the Lord of hosts. In the Hebrew, Lord of hosts means Lord of the armies of heaven. What David was saying is this, against your sword and spear, all the angels of heaven are coming against you at one time. If Goliath knew, he would have dropped everything and run. So David that came wasn't David alone. He said the name of the Lord of hosts. That host means a mighty company. So behind the scene, there were angels there. One angel was waiting. As David slung the stone, he took the stone straight. Straight to the forehead. Why did the angel walk? David kept speaking. David said, "The Lord of hosts is with me." Do you know that same God was with every single soldier in Israel? But they didn't know. In Deuteronomy chapter 20, God gave them a word. He said, "When you go against an army that is mightier than you, whose weapons are stronger than you, thou shalt not be afraid. For the Lord thy God, it is he who goeth with thee." David knew. Saul didn't know. The soldiers didn't know, but David knew. David not only knew, he had said it. "By my God, I leap over walls. By my God, I run through troops. He is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? He is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be what? Afraid." David said, "You don't understand. The lion came, vanquished. The bear came, he died. You also will be as one of them." David had a record in God. Stainless record. "He will deliver you in six troubles. In the seventh, no evil will befall you." Perfect deliverance. That's what he said. Perfect deliverance. What was the requirement? Keep declaring. Keep testifying. Keep speaking. Goliath didn't know that there was the armies of heaven were behind David. All he did was act on how he was led. He didn't carry sword or spear. That wasn't going to work. He threw the stone and the angels assisted the stone straight. You know, the kind of helmet that Goliath was wearing covered his whole head except a small spot on the forehead. Do you think it's a coincidence that the stone had nowhere to eat except that small spot designed for his defeat? That's why when you enter into the arena of life, that small area that nothing can pass through, you will pass through. Hallelujah. The same victory you have, the word will say, "Let me also copy." They will see they can't copy. The children of Israel went through the Red Sea as though on dry land. The Bible says, and Egyptians trying to do the same were drowned. There's a difference. Say, "I'm different. There's something special about me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whatever I do, I always win. In my lineage, they don't fail." Ah. In my lineage, they don't fail. We always succeed. We win in all situations. We always come out on top. It doesn't matter how the wind blows. My success has been determined from the foundation of the earth. I'm only playing it out now. How sweet life will be if you know you are here to act. You're just here to play out the victory. You know, how many of us watch football league? I know this is church. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Be a Christian. Raise your hand. You watch football league. Okay. How many of you like rewatching some of our greatest matches that we've ever played? I think there's a particular match I'm trying to remember. I think it was about 4-1. I'm trying to remember. And then suddenly, when it became 4-2, nobody shouted. 4-3, nobody shouted. When it was 4-4, nobody could sit down. Then I think it became, 5-4, something like that? Sorry? Penalty and it became. Now, but at 4-1, you know it was as though it was over. But you know what happens? When you are watching a match that you have seen before, how do you watch it? You don't shout. You are relaxed. You just sit down. I know how it will turn out. That's how your life is. You are not saying, "I hope it will turn out." I know it will turn out right. This match has been played in Christ Jesus, and I was given the victory. I know the outcome from now. Hallelujah. I know how it's going to be. I'm looking for a house. Will I get a house? In our family, they always find. In our family, they always find. You see, Chika's testimony. "If it takes a man to be removed, I will give men for your sake." That's what the Bible says. "I will give men for your sake." So those who need to be removed will be removed so that you can be exalted. If it's necessary. And you need to understand that's the way it operates. That's the way it operates. I can tell you testimony after testimony. Or people who were destroyed so that the righteous can be saved. The Bible says concerning the righteous, he shall not be afraid. No, you're not designed for that. Your life is not on coincidence. It is deliberate in God. There's a map of victory. There's a clear script written by God that the angels are following. The only person that is slow to follow that plan is man. God has spoken once, twice have I heard it. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 17. It says, come out from among them and be you separate, and I will receive you. I went to go and check the word receive in the Greek. He said, I will take you into my favor. How do you separate yourself? With your mouth. When they are saying, we don't know where this country is going, say, I know where I'm going. I'm headed for the top. People are coming to the brightness of my rising. I am on the rise. But things are really, really bad. The Bible says, gross darkness shall cover the people, but the glory of God shall arise upon you. So the stage is set for you to come out of obscurity. That's what it means. Come out from among them. When they are saying wrong things, come out from among them and be separate, and I will receive you. So you are the one who determines how God will receive you by coming out. And the primary way you come out, you dissociate with the words of your lips. Because arrows will not stop flying. And people won't stop dying. I need you to understand that. You can't pray that men will stop dying. It is already written in scriptures. Even in days of Jesus, when he was less than 2 years of age, Bible says that error slaughtered every child under two. People will keep dying. But you can trust in the name of the Lord. I read Psalm 16. I saw it was David's psalm. It said, the Lord is a portion of my inheritance. You maintain my lot. The lions are falling for me in pleasant places. I have a good heritage. I foresaw the Lord always before me. He is at my right hand. I will not be moved. Therefore, my heart rejoices and my soul is glad. And my tongue also will speak of good things. You will not leave your Holy One in hell. Neither will you suffer the Holy One to see corruption. Hallelujah. My flesh shall rest in hope. That's what he said. Why? He was speaking about his lineage. Heads or tail, I just win. My life is not a gamble. However you do it, I will always come out where? On top. And you need to understand that's how it works. That was why David was a man after God's heart. There was no situation that ever overpowered David. He always came out on top. How? With his mouth. He kept hearing and he kept saying. You also need to keep hearing and keep what? Saying. I've told you the secret before, that check out the body of Christ. And I've been a member of the body for about 25 years plus now. And I've discovered over the years that it's easier for Christians to pray than to declare God's word. That's where the greatest attack comes. Satan doesn't come and stop you from praying. If you are still suffering from the spirit of slumber, it's because you have not overcome that area. Even that one can be overcome by the words of your mouth. But it won't disturb you when you are praying. But check out what you are saying. When you are releasing dangerous arrows, then it begins to disturb you. Then thoughts start coming to your mind. Be talking there. When the landlord comes to kick you out, you will know. Be talking. What will you eat this morning? All kinds of thoughts start coming. Be talking. What about your marital life? Be talking. What is he trying to do? Something is happening in your spirit when you talk. So he wants to stop you from talking. But the Bible says, man shall live by every word. That what? Proceed. Say, I won't stop talking. I'm like my father. I'm created in his likeness. My father talks. I talk. My father speaks. I speak. And therefore my father wins. And I also win. Hallelujah. That's how God wins. God wins by speaking. I also win by what? By speaking. Don't take speaking lightly. You are a husband here. Wake up in the morning and call your family blessed. Declare what will happen during the day. As they go out, their going out is blessed. Their coming is blessed. For he has given his angels charge over them. What are you doing? You are repeating what your father has said. That's how you set the law into operation. And angels are waiting. And I think in this week we look at the angels and the increase and how it comes. We'll see some supernatural laws and how angels are waiting on us to speak and to declare so they can act. Some people, their angels are on vacation. Their angels are playing snooker. Because they are not employed, gainfully employed. The angels have been playing snooker for a long time. This is their maybe 1,005 game over the years. Because you have not employed them. All the words you are saying, they can't act on it. They act only on the word of God that comes out of your lips. When you say, I am finished, they don't know how to act. They just do like this. They didn't send us to go and make you finished.
They send us to go and provide for you. So since I'm not anointed to finish you, I will keep waiting until you say help is coming. When you say help is near, I'm a supernatural magnet for blessings. I am crazily blessed. In all that I do, I succeed extraordinarily. The wisdom of God is bringing out witty inventions from me. Everywhere I go, people love me. I am received in the highest places. My name is spoken among those that matter. The angels are busy, seriously busy, for what you have said must come to pass. Hallelujah. What you have said must what? Come to pass. Then they are busy because you are consistent. That's why you don't say it for 2 days and stop. That's not Christianity. Christianity is not saying for 2 days and stopping. Christianity is not saying in the church. It is making it a lifestyle. I can never be stranded. I can never be without help. I have all. I have bound on to every good work. Supernatural supplies cover my way. Money is coming from me to me from every direction. What am I saying? Money must come. And the angels will work to make sure that what? Money comes. There's nothing that I do that I fail at. I succeed in all that I do. What are you doing? You are declaring God's word. You are setting yourself up for supernatural what? Experiences. No matter what it is in your life that doesn't seem to be going right, if you will stop complaining and start declaring, God will have something to work with and to move in. God will have something to work with. You are a woman, your husband doesn't come home the way you ought to come home regularly, or is playing around, and you don't know that you have power in your mouth. Instead of using power in your mouth when he's not at home, you wait for him to come back and then you attack. You this and he has not changed, because that's not how change comes. Change comes by you using God's word. Only God's word can change men. Hallelujah. Every other thing is the flesh, and the flesh will not prevail. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down what? Strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of what? God. Don't answer negative thoughts with thoughts. Answer negative thoughts with words. Speak words. No, I am not going to fail. No, I will not die before 50. With long life, it satisfies me. It shows me salvation. I will live long and see my children's children's children. And God is saying, let it be as you have said. You can set laws for yourself. Between now and December, set laws. What do you want to see? Do you want to see a better December than you have ever seen before? Start saying now that this December is the best month of this year for me. Everywhere I do, every day I wake up, supernatural blessings are just following me. What are you saying? You are saying how the 31 days of December will be like. You say it now. You want to pay rent? Or there's something you want to do you need money for? And you still have a long time. But now you have 6 months to 1 year. Beautiful. You have enough time to speak words that will set things into motion. Throughout this month of November that we're about to enter into, we're going to be speaking every day. Every day. What are we going to do? We're not just going to pray like some people do. They want to pray for the year. They start fasting and praying in January. It's late. You have entered the new year already. The light of 2014 is already shining now. You need to understand that. That light of next year is shining now. You put things into next year before next year comes. Not when next year comes. Is fasting good? Yes. Is prayer good? Yes. But you need to do it intelligently. Don't enter into January and start declaring. No. You start declaring January and February. You call every month by its name. January is a month of acceleration. Everything I do, there will be speed. Supernatural ease. In February, the favor will be so much, they will bring in things to my house and to my table. Contracts will pile up. What are you doing? You are calling each month the name it ought to bear. You are saying you are constantly on the rise. You don't wait for things to happen. That's not how you were designed. You happen to things. That's God's design for you. Hallelujah. Are you blessed this morning? Well, stand to your feet and give God thanks and begin to declare concerning your life. This is your season. This is your time. You have a mouth and a wisdom. The enemy can't get it and can't resist. The wisdom of God is functioning in you. And that wisdom causes you to excel. It causes you to prevail in all affairs of life. There is no stopping you this season. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. You are stepping into the waters of fulfillment, and promotion and increase comes your way. You are productive and fruitful. In all you set out to do, you experience supernatural progress. You are increasing on every side. And God's hand is upon you to move forward. And you move with divine ability. For God's grace upon you cannot be questioned. In the name of the Lord Jesus, new doors are opening. New opportunities are brought your way. You recover all that was lost. And you prevail and there's full restoration. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you handle more than ever before. Financial increase is your portion. You handle much more than you have ever handled before. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And there is a grace upon you right now to move beyond the shadows, to move beyond all limitations, and to enjoy the best that heaven has. The hand of God is upon you, and you will run like never before. The favor of God like a shield surrounds you, and you experience God's blessing in all areas of life. You walk in divine health, soundness of mind, and soundness of body. There's no sickness of any kind before you. Nothing can hinder you from rising. You arise and you shine, for your light has come, and the glory of God is risen upon you. And so wherever you go, people see that glory, people see that covering, people see that blessing. It follows you around wherever you go. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, this is your best season ever. 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 The work of your hands is blessed. People are looking for you to bless you. People are looking for you to assist you. You can't be stranded ever again. For the angels of God minister to you in all that you're doing, sir. Therefore, you are making supernatural progress and experiencing good things every hour. This is your season. And the hand of Jehovah has brought things to pass in your life. Lord, we give you glory. We give you praise. And we rejoice in you. Thank you for your goodness and your loving kindness. You've spoken once, twice have we heard. Power belongeth to God. Power belongeth to God. Power belongs to God. We give glory to your name this season. We increase. We increase. We enlarge the place of our tent. We break forth on the left and on the right. The finger of God is upon us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. No evil or calamity can befall us. No plague can come near our dwelling place. For we have made the Lord our refuge and our fortress. He is our helper in all situations of life. He has not given us as a prey to the enemy's seat. Therefore, our soul is escaped as a bird. Out of the snare of the fowler, the snare is broken and we have forever escaped. And the hand of God is upon us this season. Therefore, we speak and we hear. We hear and we speak and we see God's goodness and God's faithfulness every single day of this year. Every day there's something new. His mercies are new every morning, new every day. Great is his faithfulness towards me. Great is faithfulness towards me. Every day new mercies spring forth for me to see and for me to experience. Blessed be your name, Lord. We give you glory. We give you praise. Lift up your hands one more time and bless him. And thank him. Thank him. Father, thank you for the mouth and the wisdom. Thank you for the mouth and the wisdom that the enemy can't guess nor resist. We just excel this season. Blessed be your name, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Give him shout of amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.